Japan's allies intervene to help save the country's economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The yen is off about 4% today following an agreement among the G7, the world's top seven economies, to weaken the Japanese currency. The yen had reached record highs in the aftermath of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London, the world's largest currency market. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Now, this is a pretty unusual move. The G7 hasn't done this in 10 years. Why are they doing it?
Well, that's a good question, because the rise in the yen itself didn't pose any serious threat to the U.S. or Europe, but it is a problem for Japan. A rising yen makes its all-important exports more expensive. So the G7 has stepped in to sell the yen, push the currency down again as an act of solidarity, a mark of sympathy for Japan, as Marcus Nolan of the Peterson Institute in Washington told the BBC.
The Japanese are in trouble. They are going through a very difficult situation. And basically, this is the other countries around the world saying, we're with you. We can't do anything to fix your nuclear reactor, but we can make sure that you don't get creamed in the exchange market.
All right, a mark of sympathy. But is it going to work, Stephen? Will it hold down the yen?
Well, these interventions have a patchy record, and certainly when it's one central bank working on its own, it's usually doomed to failure. But this is a coordinated joint action by the most powerful central banks on the planet, the Fed, the ECB, and the Bank of Japan. Analysts here are telling me it stands a fairly good chance of success in the short term, and it will take a little bit of the immediate pressure off the Japanese economy.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
To Hawaii now, where the Japanese disasters could have a huge impact on the economy there. The Japanese do a lot of vacationing in our 50th state, but the crisis is expected to change that. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
Last year, more than a million Japanese tourists visited the Hawaiian Islands, injecting $2 billion into local economies. But David Uchiyama with the Hawaiian Tourism Office says not this year.
We see about a 25 to 30% drop-off in March, April, May, and June.
Uchiyama expects Japanese tourists will return to Hawaii by summer. Japan is Hawaii's third largest tourism market. The first is North America. And the fear is that U.S. tourists might change their plans over concerns about Japan's traveling radiation plume. The U.S. government is adding more radiation monitors, but does not expect harmful levels of radiation to reach the islands. Tim Jarrell is publisher of Fodor's Travel.
In the short run, it's hard to say, but people are affected by perception.
That said,
I would go to Hawaii tomorrow.
And really, who wouldn't? I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are saying aloha, a little higher today. Shares in Tokyo were up 2.5%, a bit of a rebound there. Shoemaker Nike reported earnings rose slightly in its last quarter, but disappointing profits had shares down 6% overnight. General Mills is going to pay more than $1 billion for a 50% stake in French yogurt maker Yoplait. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 161 points, 1.5% to close at 11,774.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Facebook is about to start testing a local deals service in several markets, something very similar to Groupon. Users in Atlanta, Dallas, San Diego, and a couple of other markets will soon be able to buy different deals offered on Facebook and then share those deals with their friends. It's certainly not the first time the social network giant has entered into a rival's internet territory. Marketplace tech host, report host John Moe is with us now. Good morning, John.
Hey, Steve.
Now, I thought Facebook was for gathering friends and showing pictures of the Grand Canyon. When did they start wanting to take over the internet?
Well, it's not that they want to take over the internet. It's not that they want to be omniscient. They just want to be omnipresent. They just want to be everywhere on the internet with you. I mean, the philosophy of Facebook is everybody learns from everybody else. The business reason for that, of course, is the advertising. The more they know about you, the more accurate and the more tailored your profile can be, the more tailored the ads that they serve you can be. And advertisers will pay a lot of money if they know that they're going to get a good chance of a return.
So what are they talking about, John?
They're showing baseball games now. There's the movies are starting to show up. A Groupon-like service is being tested. Over in Europe, they're already selling products. They've already become e-commerce. They're selling shoes over Facebook. They're taking over comment sections of newspapers like the LA Times, who just don't want to deal with moderation anymore. So it's a little bit of Facebook everywhere you go. And it's definitely a lot of kind of swerving out of their lane, swerving out of that social media lane that they've been in to see if they could have success where companies like Netflix and Groupon and all these other companies have already had success.
Is all this stuff, John, more than Facebook can chew?
Well, the servers can handle it. The machinery can handle it. It's just a question of whether they can do anything so much better than what everybody else is doing that it gives people a good reason to switch. I mean, you could watch The Dark Knight on Facebook, but you're more attuned to watching it on Netflix or on iTunes or some of these other things. And, you know, it takes a lot to kind of get past that hurdle of, I think I'll watch a movie on Facebook. I think there's a lot of psychological hurdles that they're trying to get to, but I think that's okay with Facebook. As long as they have their tentacles loosely all over the internet, they don't need to be grabbing things with those tentacles. They just need to be sensing things.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. John, thanks.
Bye, Steve.
And finally, from the DMV in London, a British woman keeps taking her driver's test and failing. She's failed 90 times. She's paid $4,500 in fees, but it could be worse. A South Korean driver a couple years back finally passed her test after failing 950 times. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing, so every Friday we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.